Would you pray with me? Lord, once again, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, you heard a couple of great passages as Debbie read them a few minutes ago. You actually heard one of my very favorites. You've heard me refer to this, I don't know how many times over the years, but that Mark passage, 1:1. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark is so excited about Christmas, about the birth of that baby, about the arrival of the Messiah, that he can't even be troubled to put a verb in his sentence. He needs to get the news out. He is just running with it. Nothing is going to stop him. He's going to infect the world with the news that the Messiah has come. And I want to invite us to share in his enthusiasm today. I want us to open our hearts to the news of the baby, and then I want us to open our mouths and our hands to the rest of the world and share it. Now, most of us, if asked about the Christmas story, would refer to those texts that Bob and I read on Christmas Eve, those Matthew texts, those Luke texts from early in the Gospels, the stories, right? Most of us would say, yeah, there's the Nativity. That's the Christmas story right there. But I don't think that's really accurate. I don't think that really even begins to tell the tale as it needs to be told. It may be the birth story, but as I just indicated, Mark tells the real story. He tells the real Christmas story in one verse, leaving behind those scriptures about starlit Bethlehem night. That may bring with it those Christmas events, but it leaves us in the company of a helpless baby. Mark gives us the real story. The reason that we should sing out our joy. The reason we should explode in an ecstasy of exuberance for God. You see, Mark presents us with a Savior, not a baby. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I want you to notice what he says, because it's so important. Here's this thing that's not even a whole sentence. The beginning of the good news. This isn't the whole story. Mark's just opening the book. This is the beginning of the good news. The euangelion is the Greek word. The good news. The great news of Jesus. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. That's a lot to put in a sentence that isn't a sentence. Take that with you. Take that with you and put it in here. Now, thinking about that brought me back to our Isaiah text. Let me contextualize this for you. Ancient Israel, like contemporary Christianity, was besieged. Bob told us about that when we were going through those titles of Christ. Bob gave us some history. I gave you a little more about what was going on in Israel at that time. They were besieged, had been besieged, and they had long awaited the news of their salvation. They were in agony. They were suffering and struggling. They were wondering if the kingdom had been lost. What happened to God's promises? What happened to them being the chosen people in the promised land? They're asking themselves all those questions all the time. Was that all a bad joke? That's what was going on. Now, messengers, foot messengers, were the CNN of their day. That's where they turned for their news. And so as the people on the watchtowers were looking out, and as they saw on those distant mountains coming their way over those dirt paths, as they saw a messenger running, they would shout that out. There was no instant news. There was this. And so they could see him coming for a couple of miles. And they knew that they were going to hear something. And again, Israel's sentinels watched anxiously as the messenger approached from afar, step by slow step, seemingly. It was a time of waiting, a time of wondering about what kind of news would be coming. Is this going to be good news? Is this going to be bad news? Has some tragedy occurred? Has some joyful thing? What is this? And they have to watch and wait for this guy. There's no click the cursor and find out what's behind the screen. For years, the feet of the messengers brought bad news. Bad news. Lost battles. Conquered cities. But hope remained. The prophet made sure that hope remained. That was his job. He offered encouragement. He offered hope again and again. Hope remained that there was something else. Something else. Something long promised by God. You see, Isaiah, this prophet of old, he envisions the fulfillment of that promise. Just listen to him. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness. Notice how good news is getting defined here. Peace and happiness. Who publishes, dare we say it, salvation. Who says to Zion, your God reigns. There's the promise, so long delayed apparently. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The promise so long delayed is being fulfilled. How beautiful the feet of the messenger that brings that news, right? It's a great celebration. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces salvation, who brings good news. If our God reigns, that means that all those other manner of would-be gods don't. For Isaiah, that meant those pagan gods of Assyria and of Babylon. For us, we have a multiplicity of pagan gods. We have imperial political claimants. We have terrorists. We have cancer cells. We have public opinions. We have Wall Street. We have death, to name just a few. But the proclamation brought by the feet of that messenger is our God reigns. And nothing defeats our God. We too have waited, and this morning we too can join together singing our joy with the sentinels and declaring how beautiful upon the mountains. On this New Year's Day, we look back at this past week and we declare the long-awaited messenger, Jesus Christ, has come. Just a week ago today, Bob was standing up here sharing that news with you. News you'd already heard the night before and in the years before that. But news that you can never hear enough, that you can never hear freshly enough. Jesus Christ has come announcing peace, bringing good news. That's what the text says, proclaiming salvation, saying to us, your God reigns. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. God, or Jesus, I'm sorry, is more than just the messenger, you see. He's the message itself. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. That's our message. That's our Christmas message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. The good news is here. Our Advent waiting and watching is over. Hallelujah. A baby changes everything. We know the message, and we know the messenger. The Christmas story has again made real in our lives, and that's why we're here this morning instead of doing all the other things that we might be doing on New Year's morning. And that's why we lift up our voices together and sing. Because we have to. Because we have no choice. Because the messenger has brought that good news to us. But there's something more for us, something more I want us to just treasure up on this Sunday after Christmas. Joan Chittister, Sister Joan Chittister, says this: Christmas is about beginning the long, quiet journey to confirm the hope of the world, that it might become something greater than it is, one small step at a time. None of us is given life ourselves alone. We've all come to add what is missing in our world in the moment. None of us, she says, is given life for ourselves alone. We have all come to add what is missing in the world at the moment. This is important for us. This is a calling for us. This is the beckoning of the one who traversed space and time to come and share himself with us. If Mark tells the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, now it's us to us to be the continuation of that good news. If Jesus is Christmas, then we're New Year's. Let's get to it. Let's take it out into the streets. Let's bring hope everywhere we go. Now it's up to us in the church to be both message and messenger. That's our challenge for 2023. That's our challenge every year. I hope you out there will take up that challenge and will hit the streets, because people are desperate out there. People are dying out there, quite literally and figuratively. They need to hear what we know. We need to share what we have. So may we resolve together this morning that our love should be the message, and our lives should be the messenger. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." This morning we've heard again the Christmas story. We received the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As we depart this sanctuary, may we resolve to be the beginning of that good news to all the world around us. Amen.